Now, once in a while, in moving something around, somebody will say, you know, I got a postulate here. I'm tired of it, and I don't know what it is. Move it around for a little while. You find out what it is. You'll be much happier then. Yes, a bracket will cover other people, but it doesn't cover other universes. Other universes are not composed merely of opinions. They are actual views, and they are actual anchor point constructions, and they are actual space. Being in somebody else's body does not cover his universe. That's the one thing that Thetan never wants to have anything to do with, some other Thetan's universe when you first start bumping into it. You find in SOP-8C that is pointed. I mean, 8-0, pardon me. That's pointed out very sharply. You were run in three peoples, in three kinds of universes, and your perception did a whopping jump. That's better than any God's quantity of significance. You can find them. They're easy to find. It's easy to be the space of them. They don't bite. They're actual, straight actual space. You never really get over your fear, a fear of other Thetans, until you get around and occupy their universes to find out they're not filled with lions and tigers. They're not necessarily remarkably like yours. They're just not remarkably dangerous. You get somebody who's very bogged down, who slips out of his head by himself. He generally slides out on a messed wavelength. And of course, naturally, the first thing he runs into is mess, bang, 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 thud, thud, and puts out a beam. You put it out on the beam of electricity. You put electricity up against this wall up here, and by George, it'll just go into the wall. There's nothing quite as thirsty for electrons as electrons. We come together quick. That's really what's wrong with him. He's stuck on this mess universe. He can't get out of it. It's a trap. He doesn't want anything to do with it. Okay, well, that technique of starvation combined with duplication will do a lot of bailout, some of the worries of the case. But of course, you mustn't forget that what you're trying to solve there is energy consumption, dependency upon otherwise produced energy for moving power. Get anything, won't get out of the body easily. Why, of course, he's messed up this way in two ways. He's depending upon an unreliable energy consumption unit. There's something wrong with this body's consumption of energy. See, it's been starved, or it has imbalances, glandular imbalances, or it's hungry. You try to exteriorize somebody when he's very hungry, by the way, and you'll get some interesting effects. Also, try to exteriorize somebody when he's too full. You get sometimes upset that way. But this is not even worth considering. But you'd get somebody, let's say, who as a young boy was fed nothing but flapjacks by his family. You know, he just ate nothing but morning, noon, and night. He ate some dough cakes or something of the sort. Maybe a hamburger brought in from the local hamburger place, and real treat was a bottle of pop with dinner. You'd be surprised how many times this sort of diet is the preferred diet. Well, it's not an adequate diet for a GE, and the GE is pretty well sold on this idea of energy consumption. So this terrible diet will reflect itself in this fashion. The GE starts to eat up his own anchor points, and so distorts the space. Well, the Thetan's in a bunch of distorted space and starts to exteriorize, and you say, all right, snap those anchor points back in shape again. He can't see them. They're all black. They've had the energy drained out of them or off of them, you see. And your command then is not at yours. All right, you, Thetan, start marking up anchor points in this location. Well, now you probably at first glance would think you're just doing this to increase his ability and make him regain his confidence in seeing anchor points or some such thing. No, you're not. You're feeding that area. And energy starvation. The clue is covered in the Congress tapes, but very, very briefly. Energy consumption there is very bad. And he'll start throwing in anchor points into there one after the other, and he'll finally get one that'll stay there stably. And he'll look around, then he'll see the GE anchor point. Well, why can he see the GE anchor point? is because, not because his vision has gotten any better, let me assure you. It's simply because the GE anchor point has taken enough energy off the markup anchor points, right in the immediate locale, this is according to theory on the thing, that the GE anchor points brightened up. You can keep mocking up anchor points in these GE areas. Just keep mocking up. And boy, the GE anchor points get so they're just like gold. Now, if we were to put the fellow on starvation rations for 3 or 4 days, we'd find they'd turn black again. The body will eat itself up. And that's the worst thing about a body. It's energy consumption fixations. Another thing is the Thetan who is trapped in a black field or in a distorted spatial field and can't get out one way or the other gradually loses his confidence in putting something up, because he might as well be throwing air into a big vacuum, and he just isn't producing enough air. You could fill any vacuum with air if you produced enough air. Well, by the time he throws a few cubic millimeters of air into this vacuum, which is a cubic mile, and he doesn't see any result, he just simply says, "Oh no, I haven't the power anymore." He says, "I'm degraded." Well, let's take a look at the problem. The problem is one of quantity. If he threw enough air into the vacuum, he'd fill it up. Similarly, if he threw enough mock-ups out, he would throw enough energy into the vicinity of a body so that he would polish it all up, and to a large degree the blackness would dissipate, having been fed. See, the blackness is black energy, it's residue, it's burned out. Did you ever see a piece of coke or something that had been burned for a long time? What's left is practically unburnable. But you see, any fragment of energy to an energy hunger is better than no energy, so it's better to hang on to the residue. You see, it at least has the pattern of energy, at least has mass, at least has substance. It's like the fellow who keeps his garage full of old radio parts and newspapers. Stuff's no good, won't fit anything, comes off of the early super heterodyne or neutrodyne receivers that were built by his grandfather or something, but he's still got all the parts around. Well, you see, some parts better than no parts. He might use it someday. Similarly, on this energy consumption, the vacuum, the hunger for energy, is at least partially satisfied by the tremendous amount of residue, which is still there. And that's really burned black. A lot of the black sheets that your preclear sees is quite ordinarily right underneath the eyes here. There is a tremendous pattern of gold anchor points. I don't know how many there are. I never sat down and counted them. But they probably run into, 100,000 or something like that, anchor points, right in that little crescent right underneath the eyes. Now, the blackness quite often is something stupidly simple. He's just sitting there looking at an area of anchor points that should be there. I ran across one preacher one day. We cleaned this up. I just sat him down and let him run it himself. See, he just mocked up enough gold points. He just kept saying, "There's a gold point there." He didn't see it. Gold point there, a gold point there, a gold point there, a gold point there. And we got him through the frantic period caused by duplication, you see. And all of a sudden, he found himself in his left eye. He was just below the eyeball, looking right straight at this mass of anchor points underneath the eye, which were all shiny black. They were really drained down to a point where they were polished. And he had been looking actually at a part of the body all this time rather than hoods of this and that. Well, now, by putting up black energy further and further out, one is still feeding this hunger to some degree, and emotions released and so on. When you get down to handling a GE, you're handling a mechanical problem, which is just exactly as mechanical as taking a motorbike apart. It's just that mechanical. There's so many explosions go into a cylinder, and there's so much gasoline goes into the tank. Now, GE is rigged this way. He's rigged to run. And Thetan isn't rigged to run this way. He doesn't have to depend on that. But he starts to depend on that, and then he can't think of anything else than depending upon it. And this is gruesome to him. And the Thetan isn't like this. The Thetan isn't in this degree of dependency. But unfortunately, this body has gone through some period of starvation where it has become disarranged one way or the other. Well, this isn't that the Thetan is irresponsible. It's just, what did he mean, picking up a body that was going to go into a family that was then going to starve it to death? You'll find the basic on this sometimes in the failure of the mother to breastfeed the child. Cow's milk is pretty unpalatable. Why they feed a child pasteurized milk is a great problem, since the amount of nutrition in pasteurized milk is comparable to water and chalk compared to good raw milk, which is taken from a cow who is fed on pretty good fodder, like good natural grasses and so forth. Milk from a cow that's fed on straw and this stuff, you know, and water, and then pasteurized, and they burn everything out of that in case there might be a germ in it. And, gee, the amount of the remaining food value fed to rats does some interesting things. I was up there at Oak Knoll for about a year, Oak Knoll Naval Hospital, and I used to walk around. All I had to do, I was a line officer, all I had to do was take off one collar ornament, and I became a doctor. And there was many doctors running around loose up there that nobody knew who was what or anything of the sort. And doctors are very sloppy. They forget to put on their jackets, and they forget to wear their insignia, and they forget to do all sorts of things. Everybody knows they're not very military. You wander into the department and start saying, you know, I'm over from Project 65, and we were wondering what results you were getting today on pasteurized milk. Oh, so-and-so and so-and-so, sir. I got in the medical library down there once. Don't tell the story, I got in the medical library down there very early. First moment I became ambulant, I could walk around. Well, I headed down to the medical library, and I was told rather frostily by a large sign, fortunately, that only medical doctors were permitted in the medical library. So I went out and I got a Marine who was on crutches outside the library door, and I pulled one collar arm out of my pocket. And I said, says, you come by the desk, you say to me, how are you this morning, doctor? And he said, okay. So he did, and the librarian said, well, do you wish to go on, were you looking for some special subject, doctor? And I said, well, no, I'll go back and find it myself. And after that, I had to run the medical library. And one day, one of the doctors from my own ward came in there and found me poring over the British Colonial Shipping Board reports on Tsetse Fei fever or something of the sort like that. And he said, what the hell are you doing here? You know, complimentary, so forth. And I said, I'm a doctor. And he said, you are? I said, yes, civil engineering. This is... body structure I'm studying is what's the stress and strain and tension members of the human body as measured by Tsetse flies. The whole subject I studied during that whole year was just one subject. You talk about somebody being persistent. Just one subject, and that was let's see now. If the endocrine system is a relay system, it's the relay system, is it triggered structurally or mentally? Which is the instigator? And knowing some Freudian analysis, I would go ahead, then I would set up things so that we would knock apart some second dynamic obsession in an individual and find out whether or not he'd game. And I used the people who were being used as subjects in the government projects there at Oak Knoll. This is very interesting. It made their records go zoom, 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 zoom. Of course, nobody ever paid much attention to their records anyhow. A little doctor up there by the name of Yankiewicz, I used to prowl around there once in a while. Yankiewicz was a pretty good guy. And he had this project, and it had to do with endocrine system. They were trying to do something for people released from Japanese prison camps. These people couldn't eat. And if they did eat, it went immediately into fat. They couldn't absorb any protein. I had discovered that there was an immediate index between protein and healing tissue. I used to talk to Yankiewicz about it. He'd listen tolerantly. Because he didn't think I was doing anything. One day, Yankiewicz came down past a park bench down there in the lower part. Oak Knoll sort of built on an arena basis. And
I was sitting down there, and I was talking to this young Marine officer, and I was saying, now, something on the order of, your mother told you then, what was that again, about masturbation? Or what was that again? And it was blowing locks on the subject of sexual repression, because I wanted this guy as a test subject, because I could go up to Yankee Witz's clinic, see, and read the guy's records after he'd been tested a couple of days later. It was government testosterone. And they were administering testosterone to these people, and I would go up and look on the records and find one that testosterone wasn't registering on. You know, he couldn't absorb testosterone. And then they would send him over to the mess hall and put him on special diets in the hope that he would then absorb testosterone. They never did. Didn't matter what diet they put them on or what regimen or what exercise, what they did to them, nothing changed about the testosterone consumption. But blowing locks on elementary sexual subjects. See, I'd have this then. The fellow had been on all these regimens, the record was beautiful, and I'd catch him sometime. He was signing himself and blow a few dozen locks on the second dynamic and go up and look at the records. All of a sudden, this fellow was absorbing testosterone. Yankee Witz would have marked down it was exercise prescribed or something of the sort. And he came down by one day, and he overheard some of these questions. So he interviewed the patient after I'd interviewed the patient. And he took a look at me. He came down to my ward. And he said, see here. What's the idea, he said, of keeping me in the dark, he said, about what's going on around here? Because something weird has been happening to my records. You know, it's awfully easy, very easy, to knock enough locks out of somebody's mind to shift his endocrine balance. This is fabulously easy. When you are subjecting his endocrine balance to an exacting test. And it's very easy to alter the tests by treating him mentally, and almost impossible to alter them by treating him physically. The endocrine curve does a very funny thing. It doesn't matter what gland you're treating. You shoot him a shot, see, and his activity on that subject goes up, see, and then it comes up, and then goes below the point, and then comes up, zing, and resumes the point, even though you keep on giving him the shots every day. See, you're giving the right number of shots, and the curve goes zing, zing, zing. Sometimes it just will continue just a hairline above constant, and then you interrupt the shots, and it goes way down here, and then it starts up here again and hits the level again. It's fascinating. And it was out of that year's study that I concluded rather conclusively on a very large series of tests that the body cannot be monitored by what we call structure. And by monitored, I meant healed. It can be changed by structure, but only deteriorated. It's a one-way route. Now, you can put a fellow in a better frame of mind by making him cheerful and walk and get around, you know, exercise and amusement and different environment. You can do things with him, slight things. And they show up as major only when the condition he has is perilously imbalanced. When you get a good, rigid, solid, down depression, a dementia praecox, which is way down here, you know, good and solid, oh, nothing changes the darn thing unless you hit it from the mental side of the ledger. You hit, or start working it from the mental side, and it'll break up. So when 1946 rolled around, I was mustered out February the 16th, 1946, I had practically anything in my pocket I wanted on the subject of this. The U.S. government, by the way, it didn't know it did this either. It suddenly gave me an enormous amount of compensation pay. I'm badly disabled, they said, and they gave me all of my back compensation pay, all in one lump sum. And it was enough money to set up an office in Hollywood, and which, by pushing a typewriter, keeping the office running on office expenses with fiction stories, I could keep running very handsomely. But they not only gave me all the research data I needed to find out which way we had to go to solve the problem, mental or physical, The answer was mental. Okay, that took a year to dig out. The next thing to do was let's apply it and find out how far we put up the, make the official sign of Dynex of Scientology, the eagle laying eggs. Golden eggs. Yes, it always does laugh, but that's true of any government. But just as a side here, you might sometimes wonder about this balance and so on. I'm sorry that I don't have the records. I'm sure they're still at Oak Knoll because I know nobody in the government ever read any records. They just make them. But anybody that really cared to, and you going out, maybe years from now, you might find yourself on a hospital staff or a government consulting capacity or something of the sort. Somebody's insisting that you make a whole flock of tests that do this or do that. There is an enormous piece of work for somebody to do. That's just big. And it merely consists of trying to monitor the change of tone of the body, the tonus of muscles and so forth, with endocrine fluids, structurally, and then altering it mentally. And you'll find out that it will alter it. But we're just talking now. We're not talking about making clear. We're just talking about changing somebody's endocrine balance. We're talking about something super that the medical profession has been trying to do. Back over. And you don't have to do it long. And you boot somebody right up, straight up through all of a sudden. Somewhere along the line in the first 10 minutes or the first hour or something like this, the guy will get a little jolt. Boy, you're on. You just tuned in on Tibet. Because what you did was key out the suppressive postulates. Just from the bottom and the top. Of course, that is a method of doing certainty processing. You see, I know not. You know, I know not. I get the idea, you know. I know. No. Do that right along the columns, one column after the other, one time for each column. You go back over all the columns again, you go back over all the columns again, just the bottom, just the top. Rising scale postulates. And another way to do it, you get somebody exteriorized and you say, he says, I can't study. You say, well, I get the idea, I can't study. It's not impossible for me to study. Now let's see how far you can better the idea. That's kicking it up by grades. But the other one will work. You could get some girl who's moaning around that she's all upset, her endocrine system's all shot to the devil or something of the sort, and just give her bottom to top, just sudden jumps. And sooner or later, she's going to get a jolt, because those are essentially the key buttons. You could put to that thing, I can destroy and I cannot destroy, that is, and... I can't create. I can't create. There's a couple of additional buttons on that. To do something.
You know, that also works on people who think they have lice in their hair.
No kidding.
Really got a look there like that.
No kidding. What's your honor?
Very good concept.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly got the idea that survival doesn't mean, but it means living damn good. Living with lice in their hair.
Of course, you
never had that.
When you completely neglect the input ratio that the body is used to, and when you're processing a pre-clear and he all of a sudden starts knocking off a food, you'll get a disturbance of anchor points. If you have somebody who can't seize anchor points, the first thing you should decide about it is there's energy hunger going on here. Can't see anchor points. Well, it isn't that he can't see it. There's nothing there to be seen.
You know, the anchor points turn into planets. They're too damn far apart.
Yeah.
Same with you?
Yeah. You've got everything pulled in. The fellow pulls everything in. But he will tell you, I am not pulling these mock-ups in. There, by the way, is the way acceptance-level processing works, which is more of an educational process than anything else. It demonstrates the inversions. It's in one of the PABs. PAB 13, 14, 15, I think it is. All three of them covered. Acceptance-level processing. Boy, how that does establish the acceptance-level groups and civilizations. So. They're pretending they take one level, you start processing somebody out of the group, and boy, the other level shows up. Into the bank it goes. You have them mock up somebody who is horribly diseased and so forth, and that person just goes into the bank, right? You have them mock up a beautiful girl, something like that. She just stands there. So what the fellow say? Well, all right. Now, mock up this horrible diseased old hag, see, and for what? That's very amusing. It's not as therapeutic as it is education.
Why don't you take a